Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Night settles heavy over the land. The wind is still. The water is darker than the sky above it. Then, through the silence, comes a sound no one forgets once they've heard it. Some say the whale carries down rivers and across at valleys. Others swear it echoes in city streets, slipping between alleys and open windows. Always searching, always mourning. They call her La Llorona, the weeping woman. Her cry is a warning for anyone who dares to listen. And tonight, we're going to follow her into the darkness. Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets the macabre with your favorite deadly married duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the spooky, where I tell the stories and he gets dragged along for the ride.
For the ride.
Today.
Okay. Tonight.
I'm going to have to post a video of when I edit audio. And I just, if I mute my audio, the stuff that I hear, Tom, it's like, today. Tonight.
The last episode, was it? It was like Shaboozy.
Yeah, no, and then you were like dragged along for the ride. I'm like, what?
Just who I am.
I know, it's just really funny. I'm gonna have to share it with you guys because I thought it was hilarious. But today we're gonna be traveling.
Wow. Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado.
We're going international.
International? Europe.
Europe, Australia.
All right. Is it in Europe?
No.
Okay, Russia?
No.
India?
No.
South America?
All right. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to let the listeners be tortured by this. No, I'm joking. This is probably going to give it away for you, okay? We're going to start this episode, and it's a spooky one.
La Llorona.
Yes, it is.
Fuck yeah. I said South America.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just cut you off. And it's La Llorona.
Oh. Wait, technically Mexico's not South America. Isn't that part of North America?
Oh, God. We're really showing our knowledge here. Hold on.
I think it's Mexico, America, and Canada that's considered North America.
That's a good question. Hold on. Is Mexico... Oh, yeah. It says country in North America. Wow. Oh, no, that makes sense. Yeah, North America, Central, South. Yep. Yeah, duh.
North America is the third largest continent.
You know, this is what throws me off, though, because when I look online, some stuff say it's Central America.
Which, no.
Yeah, that don't make sense.
Because I do remember for a fact, Central America has always been those countries from Guatemala down to Panama. It's that,
the tiny-ass
little countries in between.
Damn, little-ass countries.
Hey, I mean, compared to everybody else, y'all small. No.
So we are going to Mexico today to cover...
I should have made margaritas.
La Llorona. Ooh. So,
spooky.
You know what that means, right, everybody? You've got to dim the lights, get comfy, light a candle.
Something like vampire blood.
Yeah, vampire's blood. That's the candle we have on today. It usually switches out per episode. It depends on the vibe.
Always some type of bath and body candle, though.
Yeah, that's 100%. That's 100% right.
Sponsor us.
That's 100% right. So just get comfy, light a candle, do whatever you want to do, honestly, but just lean in close and get ready to step into the legend of La Llorona, which translates to the weeping woman or the crying woman.
She is a terrifying lady.
She's so terrifying. I can't wait to get into it because... All right, I'm going to just get into it, right?
All right, let's get into it.
I act like I don't have control over when we start.
You're like, man, I can't wait till we record this episode.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, I can't wait till I start talking about it as I'm literally talking about it. So the version that most people know of the legend today pretty much goes like this. And there's kind of, there's different type of variations of it, but they're all relatively similar. The story that I know about La Llorona, because I grew up knowing about that legend. I'm not from Mexico, but it's just a very common legend in South America. There once was a beautiful young woman who's often called Maria. As for her age, there's really no exact age, but she's just generally imagined and known to have been a very young mother, old enough to have small children, so still in her youth, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say she's like in her early 30s. Why not? No, actually, maybe like 20s. Whatever, she's young, okay?
She's young.
Number of kids kind of changes depending on who tells the story. Most versions, the one I grew up with, said that she had two children, though there are some versions that say that she has three or more. Regardless, she's got kids. Mm-hmm. She falls in love with a very wealthy, high-status man, or was married to a man who later abandoned her or cheats on her. Either way, she's been betrayed.
Ah, so that's where all the Spanish songs about cheating come from.
No.
Her relationship?
No. That just derives from everything else. But regardless, she's betrayed, right? And she's left alone in despair. She's sad. She's just having a horrible time, which, mind you, who wouldn't? She's blinded by grief and rage towards him. So Maria, a.k.a. La Llorona, decides to take her children to the river and drown them.
Sounds like a typical... I mean, why wouldn't you, right? It's what a common sense person would do.
No, that's why it's the legend of La Llorona. My goodness. The second chance of letting them go in the river, she pretty much realizes what she has done. Now, some variations say that she killed herself then and there in that moment. Mm-hmm. There's others say that she ends up wasting away in sorrow until she dies. The version I know is that she ends up killing herself at some point.
Okay.
But regardless, death doesn't bring her peace because instead her soul is said to curse and roam the earth forever for what she had done.
I mean,
right.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So that's where it kind of goes from there.
Innocent children.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the legend's got to start somewhere. It's got to be something. Which it really reminds me a little bit of the Irish Banshee that we covered on the Irish folklore episode. Yeah, because she's another weeping woman spirit, remember?
Nah, those weren't weeps. That was screams. And then we heard her that night in the woods.
Yeah, because they said that she could resemble an owl, and we just so happen to have an owl in the backyard.
Did not like that night.
Yeah, but I mean... The Banshee cries as a warning that someone's about to die, while La Llorona pretty much cries because of the children that she's lost, right? Because she's like, where are my children? That's what she does.
Where are your children? You put them in the river.
Right. And so she ends up, like, the whole tale is that she is weeping and crying for her children. And she's always like, ay, mis hijos, which means my children.
Kids.
Yeah, my children. Now, obviously, like, as you can see, there's different origins, different cultures, but pretty much both just show show you how powerful the image of a wailing woman mm-hmm. is across the world, because I feel like every kind of culture may have their variation of La Llorona. This is just pretty much ours. Now, she's described to be always dressed in white. Her hair is long and wild. Her face sometimes is either very skeletal or hidden beneath, like, a veil-like fabric. Which, what do you call those? Is it a veil?
I was going to say a veil.
No, what is it that you wear when you go to a funeral? Or back then, they used to wear over a funeral? It might just be
a veil.
Yeah, okay, I might be overthinking it. But she's said to wander anywhere that there's a waterway, because that's where she lost her kids. Yeah, she killed her kids. And here's the most chilling part of the story that's been passed down through generation to generation. I remember that I learned about this growing up. Now, I'm not from Mexico, so this wasn't a story that I was hearing all the time from my mom. My mom was never really one to tell me scary stories or things like that. But the one I always heard growing up was that if her cry sounds near, then that means she's far. But if it sounds far, then that means she's near.
What kind of backwards freaking world is this?
It's kind of, and it's honestly kind of like a cruel trick that she does. Oh my god.
Wow.
First off, why does she sound like a baby? You just made her sound like a baby.
I don't know. I don't weep.
You don't weep?
No. Nope.
Yeah. So, which I thought that was so interesting. And growing up, I mean, just hearing the stories, you know, around campfires or online or from friends or families, it was always super creepy. And it always just messed me up, especially as being a kid. Like, imagine being a kid listening to that. So if anyone has any stories or experiences with La Llorona, I know I'm stealing Tom's line that he usually says at the end of it. So don't kill me, Tom. But please message us, because this story has haunted me. No pun intended. Has haunted me my whole life. La Llorona, like, I've never really got scared or spooked out by Bloody Mary or Candyman.
Nah, you were scared of Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary?
Would you do it right now? Because I would.
No, because you have a different... Well,
she and I are BFFs.
I know, based off from what I heard when you were growing up, which is kind of crazy. Tom literally would just go in a bathroom and say her name like 50 times.
I'd say it seven times in a row just to see, because I was like, well, maybe they're wrong. Maybe it isn't three. Maybe it's more.
Did you do the where you twirl?
Yep. I would do twirl, non-twirl, close my eyes,
like,
open my eyes.
Light on, light off.
Yes, literally everything. Even with a candle once.
She's probably like, you know what? I'm going to let him slide.
The whole time, she's just sitting on the other side of the mirror watching me. Like, are you
she's
an
like,
idiot?
He's so cute. I love him. Because if I'm not wrong, I think the Bloody Mary also has a similar story. She didn't kill her kids, but I think she lost her kids or something like that. I'm not entirely sure, but it just kind of shows you how... Bloody Mary is kind of like the U.S. version of it. And then like La Llorona is more, you know,
the difference
Mexico
is
down.
With La Llorona, there's not a way for me to call for her.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, you
just
got to hang out by a waterway.
Yeah,
you just got to hang out by the waterway. But before La Llorona became like this ghostly mother that we know now, okay, there were already stories among the Aztecs and other Nahua peoples, which I'm going to get into her story, which is insane of where it even derived from. I learned so much of La Llorona that now I'm like, girl.
Was it from when you went to the library?
The library? Oh, stop. Everybody's so upset because I keep saying library, not library, which I'm in 2025 and I just realized I've been saying library wrong this whole time. And so many people have been commenting on that, and I think it's so funny. So thank you guys for, you know, laughing with me. How many libraries?
If Johnny had five libraries.
How many libraries? No, it's okay. So I learned so much among the Aztecs and other Nahua people. Now, one of the most important figures where we're getting La Llorona from was the goddess Siwakowat. Her name means woman serpent in Nahuatl, which Nahuatl is the Aztec language. Now, I had to call a lot of Mexican family members to make sure I was trying to pronounce
everything
all these
right.
words right, because this is the Nahuatl language, and there's a lot of letters that I've never seen in words. And even when I've been, because I've been to Mexico several times, which, oh my God, I just can't wait to keep going because I learned so much.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Mexico so many times, and every time I go, I learn a new place and a new word, and it's just a different... The way they pronounce things are different, right? Now, Nahua is the Aztec language. She wasn't... Even though her name meant woman serpent, like, she wasn't a snake goddess.
Okay.
She was just pretty much tied to childbirth, fertility, and midwifery. So, in fact, the title Siwakowat was also given to women who died in childbirth. Because the Aztecs honored them like fallen warriors, because they saw as bringing life into the world was a battle as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which, snaps, that's right, it is a battle. Are you kidding me? It's not an easy...
This is Sparta!
Siwakowat! Hell yeah, so I love that they honored women like who gave birth as fallen warriors, because bringing life into the world is a battle. Now... Siwakowat also had a darker side. Spanish chroniclers wrote that she sometimes appeared at night wandering and weeping for her children. Some versions even say that she was carrying a cradle or was crying out as a warning of disaster being near. So you're starting to see this is kind of where her legend starts, right? And here's where it even gets more fascinating, because a lot of what we know about her comes from the Florentine Codex. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Okay, so I learned about the Florentine Codex, which is 12 books long, 12 volumes.
Okay.
Now, thank God for the internet because of articles and translations that you can find online. I learned that the Florentine Codex is pretty much an encyclopedia of all things Aztec life put together in the 1500s.
Huh. That's actually really cool.
Yeah. It was written by a Spanish friar, Bernardino de Sahagún, with the help of indigenous scholars at the time, and it covers everything from gods and rituals to plants to animals, what they would do on their daily life, what they would do for activities, like everything from that era, it's in the Florentine Codex.
Covered. Okay.
Now, in the Codex, Siwakawa is actually described wandering at night, crying, "Oh, my children, where shall I take you?" And according to the Codex that's been compiled for decades after the Spanish conquest, she was one of the omens that appeared right before the Spanish arrived. So people described hearing her cry, "Oh, my children, where shall I take you?" as if she already kind of knew that tragedy was about to fall on her people.
Okay.
Yes. So this would have been right before 1521, the fall of Tenochtitlan.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I'm throwing words at you, okay?
Trying to keep up.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's pretty.
So the fall of Tenochtitlan, so she is said to come right before the fall, right?
Okay.
In 1521, which my mind is absolutely blown because I know I'm telling you the fall of Tenochtitlan. I'm going to keep saying it.
Okay.
Tenochtitlan was actually the capital of the Aztec Empire founded in 1325 on an island in Lake Texcoco. Now, this is all in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
Okay. In 1521, when the Spanish came to pretty much take over the city, they destroyed it. The Spanish destroyed mm-hmm. Tenochtitlan. They destroyed the whole city. Hernan Cortes and his forces of men pretty much tore it all the way down. They ended up building Mexico City directly. Yes, directly on top of its ruins. Yes. And when I mean like they built it on top of Tenochtitlan, like that's where Mexico City sits right now. Yes.
Huh.
The Spanish literally reused stones from Aztec temples and palaces to construct colonial churches and government buildings there.
That's wild.
Yep. And because of that, the ground beneath modern Mexico City that we know now is literally
haunted.
If you think about it.
You destroyed their town.
Yeah, that's where Tenochtitlan once stood, which is the Aztec Empire, right? That was the main mm-hmm. city for the Aztecs. Hence, where Siwakawa, the goddess, stood herself.
That is wild.
So that's where we get La Llorona.
Makes sense.
Yes. Now, the Plaza Mayor, which is called El Zocalo today, sits right on top of the old ceremonial center. So Tenochtitlan is now part of Mexico City. Yes. And just you wait, because I did not know this.
I know that place.
You do know this. And give me a second, because I've been here. I did not know that.
That's
I was in Mexico,
crazy.
One of my trips, I was walking the dang Aztec ruins, drinking a tahini-rimmed mango margarita.
And then James Bond came flying in on a helicopter.
Yes, which is on, if you guys ever seen James Bond, the film Spectre, the opening scene is actually...
It's literally there.
Yes, it's filmed in El Zocalo in Mexico City. And it's like the opening day of the Day of the Dead parade scene. That's literally where they filmed it. And you know what's wild that I learned because I was researching that? Is that the movie, because of that movie of James Bond Spectre, that actually inspired the city to actually create a real Day of the Dead parade there every year in the plaza.
Really?
Yeah. And I think the movie came out in 2016 from what I was reading.
I think so, yes.
So that's what I was seeing, that they actually, it actually inspired Mexico City to do a Day of the Dead in the plaza.
That whole scene, I genuinely thought that was just how they celebrated La Muertos de Día.
Los Días. Oh, yeah, you're talking about Day of the Dead, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was just how they celebrated it.
El Día de los Muertos, yes.
I literally thought that it was big of a celebration.
It is a big celebration.
Parades and everything.
Yeah. No, it is a big celebration in Mexico, for sure. But in the plaza itself, they never had
wasn't
a parade.
Like that.
Yeah, it seemed like they didn't have a parade prior. So because of the movie, it kind of inspired, like, yeah, why the hell are
Yo,
we
I
not?
I want to do it.
Yeah,
I
why are we
go
not
and
doing
celebrate.
It? And I'll post some photos because it looks intense. Honestly, if you guys haven't seen the James Bond Spectre, you should. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about, El Zocalo, which is crazy.
You will want to dress up.
Yes.
And go and attend this.
No, I will say I do love Mexican culture and the history behind it. It's very rich and it's so interesting. And when I figured out that, I was like, man, I was literally in El Zocalo. Like, I was
you
there.
You were above the Aztecs.
Yes, I was chilling with homegirl and didn't even realize it. Her
and La Llorona were both...
Well, technically, she is La Llorona, right?
But
like,
yeah.
Technically, that's where her legend arrives. But yeah, no, seriously, I'm hanging out with Siwakoa and La Llorona. I'm like, hello, with my margarita. But I just thought that was so crazy. So now the plaza is just filled with music, with dancers, and skull masks every fall. Because the Day of the Dead falls the first day. Mm-hmm. I think it's November 1st to the 3rd. It's like 2 or 3 days. But beneath all that celebration, the ground itself, as you can tell, is layered with history, man. So El Zocalo sits directly on top of the ruins of Tenochtitlan, which was the Aztec capital. And that's the same place where the earliest cries of La Llorona are set to echo. Which, side note, I don't mean to get off topic, I hate doing that, but I thought... Because, okay, Tenochtitlan, it had a bunch of different pyramids and ruins and all that. Now, when I was in Mexico, I was like, yo, I went to a pyramid ruins in Mexico before I met you.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yes, I did. And I was like, yo, did I go there and not even realize it? Even though it's Mexico City, but I know there's a lot, there's tons of different ruins and all over Mexico. But I actually went to Teotihuacan. So that's pretty much on the whole opposite side of where Mexico City is. It's like across Lake
Texcoco. Is that a different empire?
It's another massive ancient city with pyramids that are outside of Mexico City, which, by the way, one of the things that I learned when I was there is that what they were telling me while I was at the pyramids of Teotihuacan, they were telling me that the pyramids there are actually bigger than the pyramids of Giza.
Oh, remember they told us that about Chichen Itza, too.
No, not about Chichen Itza.
They were talking about that.
I asked him. Remember,
okay,
I asked our tour guide.
Yes.
I was like, hey, I've been to Teotihuacan. Is it true that the pyramids in Teotihuacan are bigger than the pyramids in Giza? And he said, yes. Yeah, because Chichen Itza are not that big. Yeah, Chichen Itza are not that big. And, yeah, I thought that was wild. So when I went, and Teotihuacan is what I learned was that it was built way earlier, like around 100 BCE, so way earlier than the Tenochtitlan, because Tenochtitlan was around 13, 15, or 25 that I said. And no one even knows who built Teotihuacan.
That's wild.
Yes, and it thrived for centuries, but it was already in ruins by 600 BCE, way before the time the Aztecs showed up.
Imagine it was just some old guy had nothing else to do.
I know.
He just said, fuck it, let me build my own city.
I find that so freaking fascinating because these are massive cities that we're talking about with pyramids, ruins. They're like the sites.
I mean, this literally became, because Mexico City is literally the capital of Mexico, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, look at that. You are one of the capitals of the whole country.
Yeah.
Was literally an Aztec empire.
I know. The Aztec empire. I think that is insane. And people are just walking there day to day. Which another thing that I want you to know is that, just for reference, Mexico City is way bigger based in population and even land size than New York City.
Really?
So imagine
that. I
did
not know that.
So imagine that. Yes. Imagine that.
I also didn't realize how inland Mexico City was.
I know.
I always thought it's like smack down.
Yeah.
I always thought it was like next to Tulum and Cancun.
You're like, that's all you know about Mexico. You're like, Tulum, Cancun.
Mean,
no, I know.
Again,
I know. Puerto Vallarta. Yeah,
literally.
Yeah. No, that's funny. So sorry I got off track. But I just thought that was interesting because I did go to, we also went to Chichen Itza. I mean, that has nothing to do with La Llorona or Teotihuacan. But where the Aztec Empire was, which was Mexico City, originally, it was called Tenochtitlan. So that's where the earliest cries of La Llorona come from. So by the early 1500s, you already have this figure of a wailing woman tied to children, tied to loss, used as this warning of catastrophe and doom that's about to come. So when indigenous beliefs later ended up mixing Catholic teachings together about sin and punishment, the goddess figure Siwakoa, shifts into the cursed soul and legend that we now call La Llorona. Yes. Oh, you'll get there. You're doing so good with how you talk.
I got to get back on my Duolingo.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, complete side note, and I know you hate these, but ever since Duolingo did me wrong and I lost my 560-day streak.
Because we were on a cruise
and they don't have offline capabilities.
Yeah.
I've yet to get a streak going again.
That really did not motivate you anymore after that. You were so upset.
I was so mad.
But you've been learning, like, watching shows and, and listening to music.
Listening to Mark Anthony, Bad Bunny, maybe not the best language to learn from Bad Bunny.
Yeah, but you listen to a lot of different Spanish-speaking songs, so that definitely helps you a lot. And plus, like, when we talk.
Aventura.
Now, you know, it's funny because La Llorona, a lot of parents use her to kind of get their kids to listen or to sleep on time or to not be out too late, right? Which I find it funny because I always try to think, I'm like, oh, like how I grew up based off how you grew up. And I'm like, okay, you could say I had La Llorona growing up. Like, what did you guys have? Other than Bloody Mary, I meant like the Elf on the Shelf is all I could think of.
No, we didn't even have Elf on the Shelf. That wasn't a thing.
No, but you know how they use...
A belt. A paddle.
We had that.
That's what we had. A paddle.
No, but I mean, in figuratively speaking, I'm like, be careful. Don't be out too late or La Llorona's going to, you know, La Llorona's going to come and get you. That's why I thought
we
of Elf on the Shelf.
No?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I guess
it was just a get your ass home unless you want to get in trouble.
Unless you want to get beat, man. No. But, okay, so we had La Llorona. Now, most who know La Llorona know that she's from Mexico, right? Or that the legend takes place in Mexico, but her story is said to spread far beyond Mexico, and each place kind of adds its own twist. Now, in Mexico City, that's where La Llorona's legend is tied. She is tied to the waterways there of Lake Texcoco, because that's where Mexico City, you know, it's built on top of Tenochtitlan, the Aztec Empire, which is in Lake Texcoco. Now, remember that the city was built on that former lake bed, right, after the fall of Tenochtitlan.
Mm-hmm.
But one part of it still has canals that survive today.
Really?
Yes, and that would be called Xochimilco. Now, people say La Llorona's cries echo along these canals at night, which is why the legend is so deeply rooted there in Xochimilco. Now, it's also where they actually stage this very famous nighttime, like, performance every year to kind of honor her, bringing her story to life on the water that she is set to haunt.
And look, there's even a boat in the photo that you posted. There's a boat with your name on it.
Where?
Alejandra.
Oh, wow. That's cute. So that's what I'm going to say. Since the 90s, they've been putting on a huge nighttime performance every October and November. So as I'm showing you the photos, which I'll post them online, you have to picture this. You board a trajinera, which is kind of like a floating picnic table on a flat boat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wide, they're flat bottom boats, brightly painted in reds, yellows, blues, all types of colors, with an arch of flowers and lettering at the front. You sit at the long table in the middle, and the boatman pushes you along with a wooden paddle. So imagine like a gondola from Venice, but it's way bigger. I mean, it's louder, and it's built for groups of people to eat, drink, and listen to music as you float through the canals of Lake Texcoco.
Okay.
Now, the water is, since this is happening at night, picture it. Like, the water is black. It's very still. You're just being moved by oars. The only light that's coming, the only light that's coming is from the boats and the performance itself. Mm-hmm. And in the distance, you'd hear drums, then voices chanting in Spanish and Nahuatl, the Aztec language. Spotlights will suddenly wash over the reeds where actors in flowing white move along the shadows along the banks. And they have music. They'll have like smoke rising from the waters. And La Llorona herself appears wailing into the night.
Oh, that's great. We're never going.
No, I'd love to go. But because it's not really like a haunted house gimmick, it's just more of an immersive theater kind of staged on the water.
That's immersive, all right.
Where her legend haunts. But for many, it's as close as you'll pretty much ever get to feeling her presence without actually seeing her ghost.
Yeah, you're freaking pulling her in.
Like, you're honoring
you're
gonna her.
Honor her. You're going to feel her. Yeah. I'm going to see and can feel all the goosebumps because she's touching me and I don't want that.
She's going to be like, ay, mis hijos. Tom is not going to be happy about it. But it's pretty much it's like their tribute to her. Now, if you go north from Mexico City, so we're still in Mexico, but you're going to go way, way more north up to Dolores Hidalgo, Guanajuato, locals will point to the Hacienda Siete Reales, which is basically an old colonial estate that's been around since the 1700s.
Okay.
Now, locals here will tell you that it holds the tomb tied to La Llorona herself.
Get out.
Now, look at the photos. That tomb looks so creepy.
The one in the middle of this field?
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere. It's the only tomb
who
there.
Who the hell is farming this land? It's not me. Yeah. I'm not doing that. I'm not. I'd be cutting the grass, though, right next to her tomb. I'd be making sure that thing is spotless, perfect, pristine condition.
You're like spraying the weed killer. You're like, listen, lady, we're going to keep this nice and pristine, okay? Just
I'd
don't haunt me.
I'd pluck every stray grass. I'd cut that grass with scissors if she wanted me to.
Well, the story goes that a cross was placed over the grave, which you can see. And by the way, guys, this grave, which, of course, I'll post, but her tomb is, which I don't know if that's apparent, but I don't know. I just went to my first cemetery like a month ago. So her tomb is, what would you say? It's like, it's above ground. Like, it's not like a grave site. It's above ground. It's like a tomb.
Yeah.
It's like a tiny mausoleum, but it's not a mausoleum. Okay. Yeah.
It looks a little crowded to be a mausoleum.
Yeah, way too crowded. And it, I mean, there's only one grave there, essentially, which is hers. So the story goes that a cross is placed over the grave to keep her spirit at rest. But every time a storm rolls in, that cross is struck down or broken. People take that as a sign that her spirit just can't be contained.
She pissed.
Yeah, and that she just refuses to rest.
She said, ain't no rest for the wicked.
No, seriously. So to this day, the Hacienda has this very eerie reputation there. Visitors do go there, not just to see the history, but to stand near where many people believe would be La Llorona's final resting place, which is a proof that she's still wandering. And just for reference, the word hacienda just refers to a very large estate or ranch in a Spanish-speaking country, which is originally used just for agriculture, cattle raising.
Okay.
Which reminds me of Yellowstone, except the show. Imagine Yellowstone, if it was taking place in Mexico, it would be called La Hacienda.
I mean, if you think about it, they also, in the show Yellowstone, they also had tombs like this.
They did.
For the Native American tribes that had put their land there. And then they also had the Dutton family had their own little...
their own, like, burial site. Yeah, correct. Exactly. Now, in Guatemala, if we go to Guatemala, the story feels eerily familiar here. Okay, Maria, she drowns her children and lives crying near the rivers. But in 2019, Guatemalan film director and screenwriter Jairo Bustamante reimagined her in this film called La Llorona, which is also free on Tubi, by the way, if you guys want to go watch it. I've seen it growing up, and recently I was like, wow, I haven't heard of this movie in a while. It's on there if you want to go see it.
Okay.
But in this rendition of her, of the movie, instead of a woman who's being punished for killing her children, she actually becomes a ghostly figure that's confronting a dictator that's accused of genocide. So in this telling,
La Llorona, so she's like a vigilante.
Essentially, yes, exactly. She's not like a mother in grief. Now she's this kind of voice of justice forcing the guilty to face what they've done. Okay, which is kind of funny because...
all I imagined was like a Batman light signaling for her.
It has like an very cryptic
font. A veil.
Oh, just a veil. So in countries like El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Costa Rica, La Llorona often blends with La Ciguanaba, which is a shapeshifter who lures drunk or unfaithful men.
Oh, sounds like the...
The deer do from the Irish folklore killers. Yes,
the darn horse.
Yes. Well, so that's the thing, right? So... from afar, she looks beautiful, La Ciguanaba. She looks beautiful, but then when they get close, she reveals her monstrous face, which is sometimes described as horse-like. Yes.
So it's like The Shining, too.
Why? How is it The Shining?
Remember the scene in The Shining when he's in the bathroom and the girl's all, like, pretty, and
he gets close,
oh,
and she's, like, dead.
And then all of a sudden, she's just, like, dead and ferocious-looking.
Mm. Ugh. Yeah.
Ogre.
I forgot about that, yeah. That's true. But here... as you can see, the story ends up shifting from grieving mother, vigilante, to now punisher of men, which, like you said, it does remind me of the Deer Duke, because she was also kind of like a seductive vampire.
Seems like a lot of the tales kind of derive from, I would love to look back at the history of that.
Of which
one? Where the first
that
tale
would be
started.
Tough.
and then how that has originated in all these other countries.
I know what you mean by that, because I mean, I guess like it all derives from some type of I see what you mean. It's like it all derives from something. So how is it that it's all
parents
similar?
Parents definitely were trying to scare kids ever since the beginning of time.
They didn't have phones. They didn't have computers, internet, Wi-Fi, nothing. They had to come up with something creative, no? Now, if we go to Colombia, along the rivers and the valleys of Colombia, people whisper of La Llorona carrying her dead children in her arms. And she has many names depending on the region. So some people call her Maria Pardo or Tarumama. Which there's a movie about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I guess it's like their variation of how they interpret La Llorona. Now, again, different places, different details, but the voice relatively always stays the same. You know, sobs of a woman who lost her children or grieving something of some sort. Now, La Llorona isn't just a story from the past, though, because people still claim that they see her and hear her till this day. If you were to scroll on TikTok right now, there are some viral videos with millions of views claiming to have captured La Llorona on video. Now, I'm going to show you some.
I believe them.
And for everyone else, I will also post it as well because it is so chilling. Like, I can't. Okay, let me show you what I found because you're going to be shocked.
Right, show me.
All right, so I'm going to show you. The first video I'm going to show you is from Oscar. It's on TikTok. It's from Oscar.Martinez049, which, by the way, everybody, I will post it online. These are all alleged sightings, but they're so chilling. Are you ready?
Yes. Okay. I feel like I'm getting ready to watch a Nuke's Top 5.
Practically, because it's really chilling.
Oh, shit.
You see that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't.
I also just saw the time that was taken. 1:30 a.m.
Which makes it worse.
One, get your dogs inside. Two, I know, you're not sleeping the rest of the night.
Poor dogs. But again, as we know, dogs are said to have like a supernatural sense. So when they start going crazy like that, it's because they might be seeing something.
It's just
something
like The Conjuring.
Shouldn't.
We just saw that, remember?
Yeah, very true. Very true. Now, here's another one that I found. This one is, I also found it on TikTok. It's from Bernal period. Oh, what am I saying? Period. It's from Bernal.photography. Here you go.
Bernal, period?
Period? Oh, so chilling.
Why you gotta say it like that? That just makes it worse. Yeah, so what the hell is that? That doesn't even sound like crying. That just sounds demonic as hell. The kids are not happy. Buddha and Phoebe are not going to be wanting to sleep. Uh-oh. Nope. I'm good, you know? I think I'm good.
I know. Honestly, guys, if you want, like, if you just go on TikTok and look up La Llorona sightings, and there's so many people. Some of them look kind of fakies, obviously, but there's others that really you just can't. I don't even know how you could describe or explain that away. It's really, but again, they're all alleged sightings that people have seen of her, which is just wild because it reminds me of when I was in Mexico City. I was in Coyoacán, Mexico City, and when I was there, I did a haunted trolley tour because, of course, anywhere I go.
Of course, you have to. Everywhere we go. Oh, my God. Wait, where were we? When you ended up finding out there was a... Oh, we were in Jamaica, and you found out there was a haunted mansion.
Oh, my God, yes. There's a haunted mansion. I forgot what her name was. But she was... She did, like, black magic or something. She was, like, some type of witch.
And instantly you thought, oh,
If I had known, we would have done that.
Yeah, I thought it was so interesting. It just fascinates me.
Not me. Black magic, I maxed out.
No, I just the history behind it is very fascinating.
The history. she doing crazy shit.
She's not there anymore.
She did it crazy
was,
shit.
She did, yes. But when I was there, I did the haunted trolley, and they're taking me through Coyoacan. Now, in Coyoacan, like, they have, like, different little canals or rivers or systems like that. And I remember the tour guide was telling us that a lot of people are said to have allegedly seen her because, you know, she haunts the waterways. Yeah. Yes. And the water that you're seeing in Mexico City comes from Lake Texcoco, which is where the Aztec Empire Tenochtitlan was. And that's why Mexico City now sits on top of it. So if you think about it, it's kind of like the legend.
She's just connected everywhere.
She's connected to the land. Like, it's not just
a place. Yeah, but she'll not
place.
Fuck with me because, you know, like, I'm me.
She's not worried about you.
I know she's not, but that's why she's not worried about me, because she already, you know, Bloody Mary already called down.
True. She's telepathically. Like, they're all, yeah, hey, they've got their own, they have their own group
this guy,
chat.
He's funny. He'll keep trying to talk to you.
I love how spooked you are. We are going to have to go to Mexico City because that's going to be so much fun. But
I could go for a good margarita.
I know. Oh, you'd love it there. You'd love it there. They have a pour.
A hard, good margarita con tajin.
Oh my God, with a tajin rim. Yes. I love a little sunlight day. Oh my God.
All right, I guess I'll make one tonight.
Yeah, I guess we should right before bed. Ooh, midnight margaritas like in Practical Magic. You put the lime in the coconut and take it all around. You put the lime in the coconut. Okay. Speaking of music, that actually is a great segue into what I'm going to talk about next, because La Llorona doesn't just haunt the rivers. She actually found her way into music.
She a producer now?
La Llorona, she be doing it all. She a baddie, okay? She's a baddie. Now, there's a folk song titled La Llorona, and it was first published in the 1930s. The lyrics don't tell the ghostly story, like, directly, but it does carry her spirit. It's about longing, it's about heartbreak and a grief that it's so deep it consumes you. Now, the song became famous thanks to Chavela Vargas, which is one of Mexico's most iconic female singers. When Chavela performed La Llorona, it wasn't just a song. It was an experience, because her voice cracked and ached in ways that made the audience weep as if they were hearing the ghost herself crying out. Now, Chavela gave the weeping woman pretty much a sound. She gave her a voice, essentially. If you guys, you can find it on Spotify as well. It's really good. You could just, I mean, you don't got to listen to it and be a fan, but to listen to it and really understand kind of like that feeling that you get, that it evokes, you know, it's got like a soul to it. It's very tender. It's also a very frightening feeling song, but it's a beautiful song. It's just very... it's just deep. Okay, I'm going to play it for you so you can hear it. I'd love to be able to play it for everybody else, but copyrights.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is
it's a deep
song. I will
song.
Say, it kind of sounded like the opening notes sounded like the So Happy Together.
Yeah. I'll link to you guys in the description the song on YouTube, so if you guys wanted to go take a listen to it.
Go listen. You need to.
Like, her voice, like, you know, it cracks and it aches in a certain way. It's very... It gives me goosies.
Yes.
Yeah, it gives me goosies every time. It kind of feels like you can weep with her, almost essentially. Like, you're feeling her pain. And you know when you know artists who just sing like that? Oh, my God. They really,
with
like, carry it.
With their feelings and everything?
Yes. Now, you want to know what's funny?
What's funny?
You've actually heard this song before. And I know...
What?
A bunch of you have heard this song before so many times, which, before I get into that, by the way, another fun fact that I learned was that Chavela Vargas actually dated, it was a very intense relationship that she had with Frida Kahlo. I did not know that. I thought that was so interesting.
I have no idea who she is.
You don't know Frida?
Nope.
You don't know Frida?
I guess not. Damn, I guess I should.
Dude, she's a Mexican painter. She's like one of the best of our time. I know.
It.
I'm gonna freaking show you. Give me a second. You've never seen Frida. Oh my goodness,
no, baby.
Well, for
I'm
those
also
of
not
you,
an artist.
No, it's not that she's. It's not a big deal. Okay. But I'm just saying. For anyone
like
who's really, for anyone who's really interested in that fun fact, I thought that was so interesting. Now, back to it. You've definitely heard this song before. And I know for a fact, all of you who's listening, mm-hmm. 90% of you guys have heard this song.
Okay, tell us.
Millions around the world have actually heard this song.
Oh my Lord, stop teasing. Just tell us.
They actually played this song in Pixar's Coco, which if you haven't seen it, please go watch that movie. That movie is absolutely beautiful, beautifully done. One of my favorite movies.
We got to rewatch it because now I want to know.
Well, in the movie, one of the most emotional scenes of Coco, it's kind of towards the last quarter of the movie. It's when Mama Imelda, Miguel's great-great-grandmother, is mm-hmm. forced onto stage to sing with Ernesto. She starts singing.
Ernesto de la Cruz.
Yes, and she starts singing the song La Llorona. She's very nervous, but her voice is very soft at first. And as the music continues and she's on stage, like her confidence pretty much grows.
Okay.
And she belts out the lyrics with this very aching emotion, and the crowd goes wild. Yes.
That's wild.
Yeah. And meanwhile, all that is happening, like Miguel and Hector are trying to escape and expose Ernesto. So the performance also creates kind of like the whatever. Anyways, yeah.
Wow. Go watch.
Yeah, go. If you guys haven't seen Coco.
Again.
So good. But again, it's also a moment that just shows you the raw emotion, because it shows Imelda's strength and her independence, because in the movie she once gave up her dream of music, her dreams of doing something with music, because of the heartbreak that she endured. And so she kind of reclaims. Yep. So you see kind of like the connection there, that even when it comes to Mexican culture and even in the movies, how they portray it. So it's just kind of a symbolism in itself. So that choice just really kind of shows how deeply embedded La Llorona is to the Mexican identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's not just a scary story kind of that we all know as like a spooky, spooky lore at night. Yeah, she's also kind of she's a part of the country's music, a part of its art, a part of its memory, a part of its culture.
Yeah.
So cinema has also kept her legend alive with movies. In 1933, Mexico released La Llorona, which was the country's very first horror film, which I did not know that. Huh. That's super significant because this movie came before your very notorious mask slashers or the possession flicks. Mm-hmm. And it's like Mexico's horror began with her. And she wasn't just a ghost. She was kind of like the root of a cinematic fear that they had. Like I said, in 2019, in Guatemala's film director and screenwriter Jairo, he did La Llorona, right? He redefined her as this avenger of sorts, right, for historical wrongs and
vigilante.
Doings. A vigilante, yes. Which that film actually won international awards and reframed her as more than just a folklore. So it kind of like just put her. I don't know, like her story is just evolving at this point.
She's just misunderstood.
She's clearly apparently misunderstood for some apparent reason. But I do love, you guys should definitely go watch the movie because it's such a different take on it, where it's like we're used to these legends and folklore coming for just innocent people, anybody that's just like passing by or just wrong place, wrong time. But in this movie, she's very much like, oh, you want to commit a genocide. Rah, rah. Like she's like going to mess everybody up. But in 2019, Hollywood also gave us The Curse of La Llorona, which is, it ties loosely into the Conjuring universe. Have you seen that one?
I have not. I got ready to watch it that one day, remember?
Wow, you haven't seen that one. Yes. That one just leans more in. We got to watch it. It's really good. Yeah, because it leans more into like the jump scares and the box office appeal.
Maybe we could watch it today while
Midnight Margaritas.
I pulled totes.
You mean
of
tomorrow
Halloween.
Because it's like 10 p.m. But I could stay up if you want.
I mean, we can keep going, but I'll pull totes down. We can turn that on.
Yeah, because I
gotta
decorate.
Start decorating for Halloween.
I've got to decorate. I'm a little bit behind, everybody. Let us know. When do you guys usually decorate? I usually decorate August 1st, but we were traveling a lot. Then I got sick, and then it was just too much. It was a whole thing.
And she doesn't like the attic, so
I'm not going up there. The fuck? That's not my job. That's a boy job. That's not a girl job. That is a boy job.
Annabelle just hangs out with me. She actually helps me stuff.
Good for you. I'm glad
you
got help up there.
Dude, I'm friends with all the demons.
Yeah, I'm glad you got help up there. That's good for you. Sure. So at this point, we've got three different films, three different takes, but all proof that La Llorona adapts herself, right? She could be horror. She could be history. She could be Hollywood. I mean, it just makes you a musician, a producer, all the above. All the above except the good mother. Isn't that crazy?
Facts.
Isn't that crazy?
Facts.
That's wild. So after all the songs, right, the films and the legends, what's left? What do we have left? Many scholars see La Llorona as a metaphor for the Spanish conquest of Mexico, because she's seen as a metaphor for a lot of different things. It really depends on how you take it. Yeah. Yeah. How you interpret it and what she means to you or what you see her as. So many scholars see her as a metaphor for the Spanish conquest of Mexico because her cries mirror the destruction of the indigenous life. The loss of children, the culture, right, and the haunting legacy of colonization. Some even connect her to La Malinche, which, have you ever heard of her? La Malinche? La Malinche, yes. So she's this indigenous woman who became Hernán Cortés. What's that movie that we saw, Princess Diaries? No, not Princess Diaries. What's that movie? He's like, Roberto, what am I doing? We watched it on a cruise.
No, I think it is the Prince. Is it the Princess Diaries?
Hold on.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
Inigo Montoya.
You killed my father.
Yes. What? Wait. No, it's not Princess Diaries.
What was it called? Not Princess. Yeah, no, you're right.
Inigo Montoya. The Princess Bride. That's
the Princess
what it is.
Bride, yes.
Yeah, so every time I was researching and I read Hernán Cortés, I was like, Inigo Montoya. Da, da, da. I thought it was interesting. But anyways, okay, so back to La Malinche.
Okay.
She's this indigenous woman who became Hernán Cortés' translator during the Spanish conquest. So she was actually born into a noble Nahua family, but after her father died, she was given away or sold into slavery and eventually ended up with the Spaniards. So because she spoke both Nahuatl and Maya and later ended up learning Spanish, she became Hernán Cortés' key interpreter. So essentially, she kind of like betrayed her people, right? Because she guided him through the alliances and the conflicts. But in many ways, she helped the Spaniards survive in the land that they did not understand because they came and just took it over. But her role, like I said, I mean, there's a lot of controversy behind it because some remember her as a survivor who, you know, did what she had to do in order to live. You know, she was sold off. What else can she do? But others really condemn her as a traitor who helped bring down her own people because she also ended up having a child with Cortés. She was often called one of the, the baby was called one of the first mestizos, which tied her forever to the birth of a new and mixed Mexico.
Huh.
So, yeah. And in that way, La Llorona can kind of be seen as her ghostly double. So both women abandoned, both tied to children, both remembered with sorrow and blame. So again, you know, that's where like Malinche's cry is for a nation caught in conquest and La Llorona's is for the children that she can never reclaim. Now, she can also represent women who were just betrayed, abandoned, punished for certain patriarchal societies. She can be this metaphor for how women's voices are suppressed until their cries become almost like impossible to ignore. She's also the embodiment of mourning and loss. So, you know, grief transformed into something.
A lot
something.
Of the same stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. And of course, her story is often told, like I said, as just a warning to children. You know, don't wander too close to the rivers or lakes at
careful.
Night. Yeah, you
She's
just never know.
You.
Or La Llorona's going to take you. And so at this point, she can be this metaphor that it's pretty much like a personification of hidden dangers, kind of giving a voice to a risk that lurks in the dark. But in the end, it really is just up to you how you see and interpret her. I will forever see her. I mean, I learned so much about her that I'm like, damn, crazy.
She's kind of cool, you know?
Well, I'm like, you still killed your children. That's wild. But crazy how her story has evolved over time. And growing up, I always just knew her as a scary story, folklore legend, right? So it's really just up to you how you interpret her. You know, is she a cursed soul? Is she just a grieving mother? Is she just a voice of history? Or is she just meant to scare children? So, I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I think she just misunderstood.
You think she's misunderstood?
The fact that she killed her children. I mean, that's kind of still fucked up, but...
Yeah. Yeah, no, we got no sympathy
BT
over
dubs.
Here. No sympathy over here for those. But honestly, I would just still keep your kids close, you know?
Yeah.
You just never know.
Keep your kids close and La Llorona closer.
Would you risk being near a body of water at night after hearing all this?
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah, what am I got to worry about?
La Llorona.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, what a skeptic you are on this episode. I hate it.
She chill. She
ain't gonna mess with me. I hate it. I hate it.
I'm an adult. She wants kids. She don't want me.
So, okay, so let's say we have kids, right? Would you let mm-hmm. them want... Do you want to carry this tradition of, like, scaring them with light? Yeah.
Yo, I need them to do anything. Hey, you don't clean your room, she's going to get your ass tonight.
She's coming. She hates messy. She hates... That's why she killed her children. She hates messy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so bad. No, not
but
us.
But so smart.
No, that's so mean. No,
but so
no.
smart.
No, you're so mean. That's funny. Well, just remember, if you hear her crying at night, or if you hear any type of crying, just don't look for her, because once you see La Llorona...
Unless you have a child, it might be your kid.
Yeah, that's true.
Go check on them.
Definitely check on them, okay? But the next time you pass a dark river, just picture her waiting, reaching, maybe listening to your footsteps. Okay? So, that was the legend of La Llorona.
There she is. Psych, it's Phoebe.
It's our dog Phoebe, because she wants to go out potty. No, she wants her cheese. Well,
she's
not
ready
even her
to go
cheese.
To bed.
It's not even her cheese, yes. Thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know more about today's episode or caught a detail we might have missed, let us know.
As you heard earlier with Ale, we would love to hear from you, seriously. If you have a story that's strange, sinister, or downright spooky, doesn't matter how small you think it may be, please send it our way. You can email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or head over to macabremondays.com to submit your story. Yours just might be featured in an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned. More mysteries just around the corner. But until then, stay curious and stay safe, my friends. Phoebe wants to go to bed.
She's
so bad.
Attacking my foot.
She's
through
like,
the...
can we freaking go?
I just got bit. Look at
Bye, this. Everyone.
See ya.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.